Ash abandons his cushy retirement and returns to his hometown of Elk Grove, Michigan, to once again battle the forces of evil. Tonight on Survive the Night podcast, we're talking about Ash vs. Evil Dead, Season 2. Like that, we're back. We're down to clown with the Evil Dead and Ash in season two of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Ashy slashy.
This season is insane. It just goes for some shit, and it does not stop until it's over.
Yeah, it rules.
This was super fun to watch. Yeah, a lot of problems I had with season one. Kind of out the window. A lot of the problems I had with season one, just in general, where they did too. Ash was too much of a cartoon of himself in his writing, and like he's still that character, but I feel like in general it's way toned down in this season completely on him. So good, good for that. Pablo and Kelly get some great shit to do in here. Yeah. So that's great. And it's weird. So, yeah, just right from the get-go, I don't know what I was expecting. The way we left off in season one is that Ruby had the book and they took the deal to get out and go to Jacksonville or whatever. And that's kind of how that ended. It showed them driving away and, like, the ground just opening up, like, pit to hell or something behind them as they drive off. And you're just like, oh shit, I wonder what they're going to do with this thing. And like, Ruby's kind of like a villain, sort of, but like a lawful good type villain, like someone you can make a deal with.
Lawful evil, but yeah.
Lawful evil. Sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, like a lawful evil sort of thing. So like, reasonable in some sort of way, at least for like a demon bitch or whatever, whatever you want to call her. So, like, things are kind of order. That's the thing, yeah. Things are not in a terrible state, but, like, evil is definitely about to rule the world, and they're going to Jacksonville to party or something. And it immediately just starts by throwing that shit out, and Ruby is, like, actually turning into one of the good guys or something. She asks for Ash's help.
Yeah, she's like... her children are trying to kill her, and she's like, I've worked with like Attila the Hun, but I have to use this fucking asshole. I need his help.
It's just kind of interesting that like right from the get go, just like, yeah, we're throwing away the like the good demon sort of thing. Like she's also on the wrong side now or whatever and has to fight back or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird that we spent so much time with her kind of hunting Ash and everything she went through to get to him, get the book, make the deal, only to just be on the other side in the first scene of the second season. So that's cool. Like, it keeps you on your toes. Also, she has pink hair.
True.
Yeah, and that makes just sense because you need to know which one is the good one. So it makes sense. Pink equals good.
It's heroic.
Yeah. But yeah, the demon children are now demon adults, I guess. And they're trying to get the book from her. Do we find out not until later why, right? We just know that we have to keep the book away from them or whatever.
I think it's kind of the beginning. They've betrayed her and they want the book. I think that's all we know at first.
Yeah. She hid it in a body, as you do. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know.
Hides the scent.
Yeah, exactly. It opens up with just some disgusting shit.
It's so good. The gore, I was just so happy.
Yeah, it starts off right from the get. It just goes. It just goes. It doesn't stop much either this whole season. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ash breaks open a keg using his chainsaw in Jacksonville for a giant party. And that's just a great, like, reintroduction to those characters.
Yeah. Ash is just, you know, living his best life. This is what Ash wants to do.
He wants to party with, like, college kids on spring break, even though he's, like, 50.
So he is. Just, like,
complete loser. Yep.
Throwing shit in the air and shooting it with a shotgun.
Yeah.
All completely drunk.
Of course, this all goes sideways, as things do, when a deadite shows up. So, okay. One thing just in general with this season, there is so many times that the group or the main characters are alone. This isn't one of them, but this is just something I'm going to talk about right now. And then they just introduce another character out of nowhere to die immediately. They just throw characters into the grinder in this season. And it starts off kind of at this party, a deadite shows up and there's just like death immediately going on. Mm. Yeah. The big thing is that the deadite recites some ashy slashy rhyme or whatever. I don't remember the whole rhyme, but do you? Because I think you're a little more fresh. I watched this last night. You watched it today. So,
well, not this part, not these like first three episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yesterday,
I watched these first two or three episodes like 3 days ago. So it's even less memorable in my mind as well.
Yeah, I don't remember the thing they say.
I guess the big thing is Ashy Slashy, which we come to find out is kind of a like a boogeyman nickname they've given Ash in his old hometown of Elk Grove. Because of course they did. This dude went up to the fucking cabin with a bunch of his friends and they were all murdered and he came back fine. Of course they're gonna think that he's a fucking psycho or a killer or whatever. So he became kind of like the boogeyman or a pariah in his hometown, even though for some reason he loves his hometown. And I don't know why, because everybody that we meet, they go back there. Everybody we meet there is a just complete piece of shit. Like every single person.
Like these adults in this town, like bully him because they think he's a serial murderer. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
They're like name calling, bullying him because they think he murdered people. It's just like, this is weird.
Real piece of shit Americana town. Yeah. But anyways, so they go back to Elk Grove because that's where the deadite obviously is from or came from, knowing that rhyme and like kind of taunting him with it or whatever. And that's where the majority of this whole season, in fact, the rest of this whole season takes place and happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just start with one of the worst parts. His dad is a piece of garbage. Holy fuck. Do I hate Ash's dad? Ash's Brock. Dad is like Brock. Yeah. His dad is like, If the things I didn't like about Ash were like, I don't know, pieces of coal or something under in your stocking in the last season, Brock is like the diamond that you've compressed out of that shit and just made like, I don't know. I fucking hate him so much. And it's kind of funny because you're definitely supposed to. Like, they make him the worst. Until he has a turn, and then they, like, immediately take care of him.
I find that part so fucking funny.
It's so good. That whole part is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So,
like, once that happens, I kind of think everything they do with him, the, like, couple times he shows back up, are all fucking hilarious.
Totally. Yeah. Up until that point, he is literally just like every terrible, just every bad thing about Ash's like stereotypical character is like the boomer version of that, so it doesn't have any charm to it at all. It's just gross and shitty.
Yeah. It's just funny because, like, so much of this is, like, Ash is, like, he's, you know, like, 50 or whatever, but he's, like, acts like a teenager.
Yeah.
So, like, he's in the way, like, he acts towards his dad, even. It's
so funny. Sure, yeah.
Because Ash is fucking old.
He is, yeah. I just looked it up. Apparently, Brock is 75. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. That seems about right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously he doesn't like his son, especially because he agrees with the town and thinks, like, his son is a murderer or whatever. And then he went to the cabin, killed his friends, and then left him there alone or whatever.
Well, and specifically also killed his sister.
And his sister specifically, yeah.
Yeah.
Brock's daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
Who he obviously liked more or whatever. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy
also
issues.
Easier, like the dead kid better than the live one. That's also just easy.
Yeah, for sure. Tropey as fuck character. I think it's hilarious that there's the breaking point is like, let's settle this like men or whatever. And it's a, see who can last longer on the like bucking bronco fucking horse thing in the bar.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cause you know, that's what men do to settle differences.
Just two mature men expressing their feelings.
Yeah. By riding clench, a thing.
It's who can clench their butt harder.
Crack a walnut on it. Yep. Anyways, the dad wins and like there's this whole there's a lot of things kind of intertwining here, so it's going to be hard to talk about things in specific. The car gets stolen with the Necronomicon in it after they get it, and like that's where Ash hit it.
The whole part where Ash has to get the Necronomicon as like the most fucking funny fucked up part. Like, Ash getting... the fucking corpse that it was hiding in becoming this weird, like, tentacle demon and sucking Ash up its butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Ash is, like, wearing it like a fucking... Like, his head is sticking out of its chest hole, and he's just fucking like, he's, like, so grossed out.
It's fucking disgusting, to be fair.
Larry's like, never say the words ass or hole to be in my presence ever again.
Yeah, the whole book debacle. Like, it's pretty quick how it's pretty easy how they get the book, but it definitely leads up to that being the payoff, right? Of the weird, I don't know, like snake demon thing in the intestines of this corpse or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. For safekeeping, he throws it in the trunk of his car, as you do.
He does not throw it in the trunk. He throws it on the floor in the back seat.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't even put it in the trunk.
Yeah, he throws Pablo in the trunk, but that's a later. That's a later thing we'll talk about. Yeah, you know, for safekeeping. And the car promptly gets stolen by a group of just, like, shitty teens, because that's what shitty teens do.
Yeah, but shitty teens that Ash and Kelly flipped off earlier.
Yeah. Anyways, long story short, shitty teens are having premarital relations and smoking the devil's grass in the car. They see the book. One of them reads out loud from it because that's what everybody apparently does when they read stuff now. Gets possessed, becomes a deadite. This is all important because she turns up at the bar during this like confrontation and starts hitting on the dad and goes into the bathroom to fuck him or whatever. And that's when
she hits
Ash
on
Ash
first. Then Ash's dad wins the Bronco, so she goes
and then
to the bathroom.
She
with
moves
him.
To him. Yeah, it's weird because obviously, like, she's there as a deadite to fuck with Ash. So, and I guess like at that point she's like, this is funner this way, and Ash is like, finds out that she's a deadite as she like switches her eyes or whatever as they're walking away. and he's about to just let his dad die, essentially. He just goes to the bar and starts drinking. But anyway, this is all leading up to the fact that he saves his dad, kills the deadite. One of the best scenes just in this series so far is how I love how he's standing there in the bathroom that's just destroyed, blood everywhere, holding her head, just saying, like, believe it or not, Dad, this is my day job or whatever. And some random just nonchalant kid walks in to take a piss, looks up and just starts screaming. Just like, it's one of the funniest moments in this series so far.
It's pretty good.
He's just standing there with the head in his head. It's so good. The dad immediately takes a turn. Everybody starts running out of the bar being like, he's a killer or whatever. He's like, no, my son's a hero. Anyways, the best moment that we were this all started. There's a lot of like threads you have to kind of tangle in why we got here. But he's like, there's something you need to know, something that could like change your whole life or whatever, unravel like the very fabric of who you are. And then just fucking gets nailed by the possessed car, just explodes.
It's so good.
And then it ends. Cut to black.
Oh, that's everything. Everything.
It's so
I need.
Good. It's so. It was at that moment I realized, oh, I'm gonna watch the rest of this series right now. Like, we're gonna finish this tonight. This
it's so funny.
Season.
Yeah. It's like funny in that like. In like exactly the like Samuel Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. Like here's our big speech and then just fucking dead.
Totally.
Oh, yep. It's so good.
This one is perfect a little easier to timing. Read that it's going to happen. Something yes. like that is going to happen. Yeah.
Sure, but you know, the demon car is out there.
You know, the demon car is out there. They very specifically move it so that he's right in the middle of the road having this conversation. Like, but yeah. I didn't realize it's so sudden that it doesn't even matter because it's hilarious and horrifying at the same time.
Like, at the start of the next episode, when Ash is like trying to mourn over his body, it's like
he's like putting his brains back in for trying.
Like trying to close his eye, looking for his other eye. And he's like trying to think of nice things to say, but like his dad's only liked him for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, his dad's just been such a piece of garbage. Yeah. Oh my God. That it's so fucking good. That part, everything to do with the dad after that moment. There's a couple spots, like you said, where yeah. I don't know. I guess it's not. I guess it's like technically some of his dad. Well, some of them are his dad. One or two of them are definitely the main demon of the week or this season's playing with him and fucking with him. But yeah,
The first one is when he's trying to like ride the Delta and he flashes back to his dad talking about how to ride the bull. And it's like his dad, Brock's head like appears in a little pink cloud behind it or whatever, telling him to fucking clench his butt cheeks. That's so funny.
That part is great. And it's also, I've made mention of this in everything that like does it well. When you have something cool or something stupid, it doesn't matter. When you do a thing and then use that as a callback and to further like a character's either understanding of the world or the situation, that's just fucking good writing. Yeah. And like, it's so stupid, but that is such good writing that you have to just be like, okay, you got me. This is amazing.
No, it's just great. It's just a great moment.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah. And
well, he's like fucking bouncing off the CGI car.
Just fuck, man. It's so good. And he's one of the balls also to introduce a main character with a direct relation to the main character of this whole thing, the titular character, and then murder him in like an episode later. This is great. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely fantastic.
Dragon Ball Z-esque.
I have a feeling we're not going to be seeing the last of him because he has shown in this season he can just like appear as a ghost, but we'll have to talk about that a little bit later because that scene is hilarious.
Yeah.
Scene is so fucking good. Another character that was added was Linda. Another Linda.
Linda B.
Yeah, Linda B. A woman that Ash had like a fling or like with or something when they were younger that he is still fond of, and that weirdly is like fond of him. I don't understand why anybody's really fond of Ash in that way, but whatever. Uh-huh.
Yep.
This one makes a little more sense because at least they have a history, so like she can remember what he was like, and she's older too. So this one makes more sense, I will say.
At least like her husband is the fucking worst, so she obviously has bad taste.
Yeah. Totally. That whole family. So her daughter, Linda's daughter, is one of the teens in the shitty teen group. By the way, we'll talk about it later. They just get fucking annihilated by the car, and it's kind of great, but like that's kind of a whole different thing we'll talk about. And the husband is kind of the, I would say maybe the main antagonist for most of this season, really, until like the demon stuff, obviously.
He just sucks so much.
He's the worst.
When he got killed, I was like, fucking finally, God.
He didn't get it bad enough either.
No, I think. It was really too quick. Didn't.
He's a cop, just straight right from the get go. He's a one of these shitty cops that obviously like was picked on and just a little shitter back in the day. Now has some power and is lording it over people. That sort of character. We don't see a whole lot of that because he doesn't act like a cop so much as he acts like just an intense hatred for Ash because Ash used to pick on him and fuck his wife back in the day, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really it. That's the amount. That's why he hates them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like that builds up. He's terrible. We're going to have to talk about him in depth. But I really like this Linda is what I'll say. I kind of hope she sticks around. But I don't know. I could see her getting iced pretty quick. She sticks around longer than most characters introduced early in a season, so that's good. I'm trying to remember if she has any, like, I think the thing I like is that in this town full of terrible people, she's kind of like the beacon of light, or like the one person who maybe doesn't immediately not believe Ash. And that's important for me personally, because I get like emotionally invested in characters and I fucking hate when they're in like a situation where literally nobody is listening. So Linda's kind of like the one that like listens a little bit, besides, of course, the main characters who are all still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. Her husband's a piece of shit.
She gets a scene later on in the season that like really made me like her. But
yeah. But it seems late, like too late, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think it's the last episode, maybe the second last. It's in there. It's in that area.
Yeah.
I think
it's like the third to last, because we have two episodes for the finale thing.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot. They go back just to the cabin.
A lot happens at the end of the season is the thing.
You're right. What you're talking about happens in the insane asylum.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're right. There's so many things that happen. Let's quickly talk about the shitty teens. They're shitty. They read from the book, and of course they do hilariously. That I love the Delta coming to life and just when it like tiptoes or something, it like walks, not drives, walks, and then like puts a wheel over that one dude who's hurt that it hit or whatever. And then just like starts revving it and just like peels his face off, and then fire just like shoots out of it from like leaking oil or something. Just like Jesus Christ.
Fucking Ghost Rider car over here.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's so good.
That was one of the situations that there's a few situations this season. This is how you know it's a good season, where my girlfriend looked away and I said, okay, I'll tell you when it's over. There's a few situations. The other one is the bear trap in the cabin. That part was hard to watch, though. That was rough.
That was too real.
It was too real. Yeah, this one was like just silly.
This one was fucking hilarious. There's so much good comedic violence in this season. I was so into it.
It's so good. Yeah. It makes me kind of wonder how they're gonna top it, but I guess that's for another. That's another episode where that we'll discuss. But anyways, the daughter lives. I don't remember her name. The daughter of Linda lives through this. The car kind of like straps her in and toys with her, and kind of like she's stuck in the car while it's murdering her friends and going for this terrible joy ride through town.
Mm-hmm.
Until it picks up Pablo, and then that's a whole whack of shit by itself.
Lacey, that's her daughter's name.
Lacey, thank you. Yes. Okay. Pablo. There's a lot to talk about, man. Pablo, actually. Maybe we should start with, oh my god, what's her name? With Kelly. Because Kelly has, like, little less going on here. She has some character development, but, like, not really. She's still... Her character development was really last season with her parents, you know, being murdered and the whole, like, she obviously sees Pablo as just a friend, but maybe not. I don't know. There was more to do with her there. Here, she's just kind of a psycho that shoots a lot, and I love it. She's great.
Yeah, she's just like, you know, she's just here to fuck shit up, dude. It's beautiful.
When they're locked down in the house and, like, she's like, I have a plan or whatever, just breaks a window, starts shooting at the civilians. It's just like, okay, I'm down. Yeah, let's see where this plan goes.
So she's like, well, I just opened fire on civilians.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ash is just like, that's a felony or what? It's weird. Yeah.
Or like, because, like, she, like, knees Sheriff Emery early in the season.
Yeah.
And knocks him out. She's like, yeah, I'm probably going to jail for that. Oh, well.
I absolutely love her. She's so anti-authoritarian, and it's so good. Oh, it's so fucking good.
Like, when Ruby talks her into, like, they should just go off on their own and kill all of her children, and she's like,
yeah,
fuck it, that's fucking doing something?
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting around? Fucking beautiful. Let's go do something. Fuck up
it's
some demons.
It's so good. She's so, so good. But unfortunately, there's not a whole lot to talk about that she does specifically in this season. She's just kind of there for the ride. Pablo. Holy fucking Pablo.
Oh, man.
Wow. Where they went with him is actually kind of phenomenal.
It's so good. Or he's just fucking becoming the Necronomicon.
Yeah. So the Necronomicon was a problem, right? Well, luckily we get the car back eventually. Necronomicon's there, and there's like a portal to hell. So they just throw it in. It's like, get rid of that book, and yeah, everything's fine now.
The Necronomicon like talks to Pablo. Is like Pablo's been having visions, and he's like worried about you. Necronomicon's like, Pablo, it's fine. You just send me back to hell, and you get to live. And it like spits up a word,
like
word
a passage
spell
or something.
Yeah. And Pablo reads it, and it opens a portal to hell in the fucking trunk of the car. And they throw the Necronomicon in there.
Yeah, easy fixed.
Fixed. Except not. Fixed.
So
nothing fixed.
I don't know that they ever really give a concrete explanation, but it just seems like there always needs to be a Necronomicon in this world or something. So it starts just converging, is the word they use, onto Pablo, onto that him as a host. I guess it makes sense.
It was happening anyway, and the Necronomicon just like
lied
to him. I think
because
he was having all those visions. That like his precognition stuff anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
They might have been accelerated by that, but yeah.
This is kind of where the talisman comes in as well. Like, it's been holding that shit off, apparently.
Yes.
There's the kind of the cool scene of where they get explained of what's actually happening and how they're going to use this terrible thing that's happening to Pablo to their advantage or whatever. And when it's like taking over his body in these cool dope ass like tribal tattoo type styles or whatever, like all over his body, and
along with like some gross sores and cuts. But yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, if by gross you mean totally ripping, then yes. but like it's all just being held back by the talisman or his necklace or whatever. I thought that was cool. Like they actually did something more with that without just explicitly saying anything. And like it came into effect again, just decent writing. Like something that happened last season is having a major effect on.
Well, I also like something. how they work in like his visions and how they eventually do come to pass. But like it's not in exactly the way he saw it. But like the things that he saw do come true, like him getting put in the trunk and. being hung up by Ball.
Yeah.
Except it was Ruby in his vision.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, they did a lot of cool shit with Pablo. Pablo got some good stuff. And, boy, he's had a rough go of things.
Yeah, just fucking getting to puke everywhere.
Yeah. He's had a rough go of things. We'll definitely talk more about Pablo in like a later thing that happens. But he's been cool. Ruby in this is kind of just like a good guy. I don't know. There's not, it's just kind of,
She's lost her immortality.
So she gave up her immortality to like empower her kids, essentially her demon spawn. In fact, Kelly doesn't like it when she refers to them as her children or whatever. It's just like, stop calling them that. And so she's human now, and she's part of the good guy gang because she was backstabbed or whatever by Ball, the new demon of the day or whatever of the season. He's cool. My favorite thing about Ball is that Ash keeps calling him Bill, and that makes me laugh literally every time he does it. Literally every time. Because it's so much like less scary or whatever.
Yeah. Bill from Baldur's Gate. The Lord of Milk Murder. Bill.
Just Bill. Yep. Yeah. It's so good.
But Ball's thing is like he has this like one hooked finger and he likes to like hide out in other people's skin.
Yeah, he's a shapeshifter. Does it.
He is a shapeshifter, but also he literally cuts off people's skins and wears them.
In this, his whole deal is he's like a lord of deception and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he can like play with your mind and he hides. He uses people's skin as kind of like a costume. Yeah. Anything to just like fuck with people and break their mind, essentially, is what he does. I think it's kind of a cool idea to put in that it would be maybe harder to do without like the longer format of the like 4 hours or whatever, because he's kind of in the last half, so he's not in the full thing really. But you need a little bit more time to build on him and what he can do, because there's a whole episode just dedicated to him trying to break Ash's mind, essentially.
Yes.
And you can't do that in a movie. You can't just have like a movie where it's just that, where here you can have a full episode focused on that and whatever. It's cool. Yeah. And we haven't seen that.
A big thing I feel like that separates this season from the first season is like in the first season, you can feel like how like they took their ideas for what Evil Dead 4 was going to be and kind of grafted it into a season of television with establishing characters and stuff. And this, it felt more like they planned out a season of TV to do with these characters that they had.
And that's why it rolls like a 5-hour movie instead of like a bunch of different. Well, season one kind of felt like two short movies or two movies held together with an episode that kind of doesn't matter. in between.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This definitely was felt like it was hard to stop.
Yeah, I can't it just remember. Flowed better from one thing, even though, like, you know, you're in a place for a few episodes and then you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's still, everything flowed from better. And I just think it was a stronger overall season for sure.
Or, yeah, really, really good. Ball, and I really like Ball because he's something that I think they initially maybe wanted to do from what I've read with the first The Evil Dead and showing like him go insane. And like that is definitely what hit that demon does, right? Is make people insane and like toy with them and stuff. In a less bombastic way, but still with like pretty gory results here and there. So I thought it was cool. A good addition. It wasn't just the demon wasn't just a demon that rips people in half sort of thing. He does a little more finessing, and that's neat for this series.
It was
also
it was a villain Ash had to outsmart.
Also, it's fun because we've seen Ash with the boomstick and his chainsaw and stuff. And, like, we've seen him deal with threats that are present in front of him that he just has to kind of fight, like, brute force through. It was kind of neat having one, like, first of all, just the whole idea, how are they going to play this? Because Ash is kind of an idiot. And, like, even in
D&D... He's a moron.
Yeah. Even in, like, tabletop rules and stuff, right? In, like, Call of Cthulhu and stuff. The stupid characters usually do better because they can't realize, like, how fucked up things are and they can't be toyed with as well.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the perfect playground to do some comedy with, like, a character that fucks with somebody's mind, except that the only thing on Ash's mind is, like, butts or something. Like, there's nothing there. And I think they do a pretty good job of that. The whole kind of like, I was gonna say last half, but it's more like the middle, the last middle half of the middle,
four fifths.
It's so weird to talk about. It's every before the cabin where he gets kind of stolen or whatever. The episode where they're breaking his mind.
It's episode seven, and then episode eight.
Yeah. The whole episode dedicated to Ball fucking with him and trying to break his mind and whatever. It's so good. Did you call that he was toying with him? Because it seems pretty easy to call, right?
Yeah.
That's turn.
Literally watched this plot in a fucking Moon Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is still something we have to talk about. Just on the back burner. But... I guess like the reason I ask is because apparently it wasn't obvious to the person I'm watching it with, even though I thought it was, because he sees them leave the car and that's when he makes the turn. So like he's obviously playing into something. He plays it pretty convincingly though, and it was kind of cool seeing him as like a monster, essentially, like the villain.
Yeah, it was good to see Ash on the other side where he's just like this physical like Hulk. Ash is like a fucking golem in terms of like durability and strength.
And it's super cool too because there's just like an empty asylum, so hearing a chainsaw rev up and like reverberate through the hall and stuff, it's like, "Oh, this is actually terrifying on the other side."
He's just fucking slow walking down the hallway.
Yeah. That they did some
the
good
shot
shit.
Where he like pours the gasoline on the ground and lights it with the chainsaw.
Yeah, it's just so unnecessary because he just walks through it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, you know, Ash is evil because he's not wearing a blue shirt. He's wearing green.
That's true. He wears the blue shirt less and less, less often, I would say, in this season. That I thought that whole part was super cool because they were able to play around with stuff they haven't really played with, the mental capacity and like the weird deception and lies and stuff, that sort of demon. And also Ash is like a bad guy. It's cool. It was just very cool.
Yes.
And then, of course, they go back to the cabin, which I just found hilarious. Like at this point, how often they've gone back to the cabin. I just, if they don't go back to the cabin at the end of season three, what are we doing? They have to, right?
At this point, it's tradition.
That's the thing, is that they go back to that cabin so fucking often. They've gone back to it in every major Evil Dead thing, because obviously the Evil Dead, it's there. Evil Dead 2 is just a remake, so it's there. It's at the start of Army of Darkness during the recap, and I still count that. Yeah, I count it.
But they only show it in... They, like, literally only show clips from Evil Dead 2, though. I don't think they filmed anything new of the cabin.
Also, technically, Army of Darkness is the least Evil Dead out of all the Evil Dead things.
It's true. It doesn't have Evil Dead in the title, so...
Right.
It doesn't count.
And it, like, was the thing that completely changed Ash's character. It's basically PG-13. Like, it is the least Army of Dark... Or the least Evil Dead thing out of all of the Evil Dead things, by far.
Yeah. I fucking love when he gets to the cabin. He's like, the book was here. Or wait, did I find it in the basement?
Just doesn't remember. Like,
well, because we have two movies where he finds it in different places.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, which one was canon? Wait, what?
It was cool that they did the whole like Henrietta stuff. That was cool. It was
getting more Henrietta was so good. Oh, we didn't even talk about Ted Raimi.
Not yet. We can. Yeah, because we should talk about Ted Raimi. Ted Raimi's here. Because, of course, he is.
He gets to play Chet, and then he gets to play Henrietta. Monster.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. I was going to say, I was going to ask. That was him, right? I didn't check. But
I'm pretty sure. Because it looked like him to me. Once the full transformation has happened.
It's his face, 100%. Yeah. Like, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, and he's like in the season, so I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be him.
Yeah. Ted Raimi is so goofy. Holy crap. He is absolutely so goofy in this.
What's the name of their drink? Fucking the pink.
Pink. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what it is. It's sugar water with ketamine in it.
It's a bat. It's like Kelly's like, yeah, I just don't want to drink a bag of ketamine right now.
Yeah, God, what the hell is that called now? I think the funniest part of that pink is how many fuck? People.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Pink fuck.
Yes, it is. It is. Yep. Also,
fucking sugar and ketamine.
Fun fact, it looks like somebody did a recipe or put up a recipe for the pink fuck without the ketamine, of course. But I'm sure this doesn't taste good.
No.
So
it just made it was like you get like a sugar rush and then you fucking, you know, get high in ketamine or
then
whatever.
Then you trip balls. Like, cool. For anybody wanting to try this at home, like maybe don't try this at home, but 3 ounces of vodka, strawberry liqueur poured for 3 seconds, splash of grenadine, a half a cup of lemonade, an orange rind, a pinch of nutmeg, shake and serve with an orange slice for garnish. That's the recipe for the pink fuck. Yeah. In case you're so
if you're an alcoholic.
Yeah. I don't know. I like if somebody made me one, I would try it. I'm not going to buy strawberry liqueur like some of this other shit just to make it. Uh-huh. So. But yes, Ted Raimi's in this season. I got so excited when I saw him that I was just like, oh, shit, I need to like just squeal about this on Discord.
He's on a lot of the season too.
He is in, I think, every episode after they introduce him. Do they introduce him right away? I don't think so. Maybe the second episode or something. Third episode, I think, actually, by the looks of it here.
Okay.
Yeah, it is third episode because I think I asked you to like tell me when you've hit the third episode.
Yeah. It's when we meet Linda because he's in that bar.
Yes, exactly. And but yeah, so that was exciting to see. I think he's in every episode from there on in different ways, I'll say.
Ash's one friend who never betrayed him.
Ash's one friend or who lied never betrayed to him. That kind of betrays him. I don't know. Not like really, but kind of. It's hard to explain. But if you've seen Evil Dead, you probably know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just fun seeing him. He's also a giant piece of shit in the way that, like, he's more. If Ash was more of a, like, druggie, that he's definitely this character, essentially. Uh-huh. So yeah, it makes sense. It's just fun seeing Ted Raimi. He's obviously having fun. He's having fun every time he's on screen. His weird rubbery face that he makes for some things. It's just great. Good time.
Yeah. It was great to get to see him as Henrietta at the end, too. That was truly great.
So the stuff with Henry, first of all, there's just so many callbacks again to, like, the series. Seeing the cabin again, fully furnished, not, like, dilapidated in the way that, like, we saw them in the movies and stuff, actually, like, was one of those, like, breathtaking moments away again. It's like, I think I even, like, said as we were watching, I was like, oh, it's the cabin. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it. Maybe it would have less of an effect if it wasn't for the fact that for content, you and I are going through all of this shit in a row. So it's very, like, clear how well they redid that set.
Yes.
But it's very clear how they redid that set. They even did the thing where he walks in the basement and looks up at the pipes and they're, like, watery. It does that same shot. It's weird. There's so many just callbacks and stuff I thought was very, very cool. And weird that they're doing it again. It's weird.
Yeah. Although the way they shoot the basement, you have a much better sense of the space than you ever did in the older movies.
For sure. Yeah. probably because they actually built it and didn't just use because
they actually had a space and weren't, like, shooting in a garage or for some shots and somewhere else for other shots.
Just, like, weird camera angle tricks and stuff to make it seem bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, everything to do with Henrietta I thought was cool. Seeing her as the human version of her and her tricking Ash into letting her out.
Should have slapped her harder.
He does the thing where he just, like, punches her a couple times or whatever. And she's just like, you're worse than my husband. It's so bad, but hilarious. It's so bad, but hilarious.
Letting her out.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some, like, kind of fun stuff too of Raymond Nobe just seeming like a total piece of shit. Like, they kind of play the audience well too, in that I'll speak for myself, I won't speak for you or people watching. I definitely thought that maybe this was pre her being, like, evil deadited, because by the time they, like, show Professor Nobe come home with this weird, like, undergrad student or something, Tanya, then you're just like, oh, this is going to go so bad. I thought maybe he was, like, going to perform a ritual or something, because from up to this point, Henrietta hasn't shown her hand at all. The deadite hasn't shown her hand. And Professor Nobe seems like a fucking scumbag. From the little we've seen of him, I don't know. I feel like I got played a little bit, but, like, of course they're going to have to do that because I've seen these. I know Henrietta's bad or a deadite, so they're going to have to play with my expectation a little bit, I guess.
I thought it just made sense that he would be a scumbag. Like, that dude was messing with the Necronomicon. You don't do that if you're not a fucking, like, he was reading from the Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like, think of, like, that bookseller in the fucking season one. He's like, I just want to summon a demon so bad. Like, he's just that guy.
And the student he brings, Tanya, oh my God, poor she girl. Gets
stuck in that bear trap and
her leg just, like, getting pulled off. Oh, God. Yeah, it's so. Because that one. She's screaming the whole time. Like,
she's like, okay, I'm trying to get you out. Screaming's not helpful. But like the bear trap is like such a fucking like normal way to get like to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Like you just feel it a little bit more than some of like the than like ball cutting someone's fucking skin off with a fucking finger. Like that's that's cartoonish. The extent that that's happening, whereas the bear trap thing is more visceral.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
You can imagine your own leg getting stuck and just like, fuck.
Like, I think you're a fool if you think Tanya is making it out of this basement.
Oh,
in general.
Yeah.
but that whole part is terrible. It makes a little bit more sense when she gets grabbed in the stairs and then like just explodes into blood as the series does.
Although I fucking love when Ash is like waiting at the hatch and then it just opens and you just see Tanya peeks up like covered in blood before getting pulled down again.
Oh yeah, like she actually had made it or was going to make it maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, poor girl.
It's just like, damn.
Yeah. Also, Henrietta in the body horror here. Oh my god, the like breast milk part. I was gonna throw up. It's so bad. It's so fucking disgusting. She has like a boil pop on her ass.
The whole scene of her like powering up, like when she's just inflating.
Yeah. Yep. It's disgusting. It's so bad. But that whole part is very, very cool. It's cool.
It is very funny that like her like body inflates and her head gets smaller because it has to become Ted Raimi's head.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
the woman, the actress playing pre-possessed Henrietta, it just has a bigger head than him.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That whole part is pretty good. And then we get kind of the ending, which we'll talk about in a second. The reason why we got here also is that we're trying to bring Pablo back because Pablo sacrificed himself to stop Ball being the Necronomicon. I thought it was gutsy that they killed him. And then, like, of course, I knew they were going to do something to bring him back because, of course, he's a main character. I still thought it was ballsy, though, that the way they did him in. Pretty cool. And pretty cool that he was basically just demon Uber in his corpse state for a while. But that kind of goes in tandem with the ending and the reveal, I guess, the big reveal, the prestige. But yeah, so they go back in time and that's kind of why they're at the cabin. They're trying to stop it, everything before it happened by taking the book so Ash never finds it. And it works. I thought the scene of him just like feeling pain in his arm or whatever, and then he pulls off his chainsaw and he has his hand again. I don't know. This is kind of like joyful, like, oh shit, it worked. Pablo's probably okay. And Pablo is okay. Like, he's back alive. He was left a note, which we were laughing about for like a half an hour here. Specifically, if you're reading this, you're not dead. P.S. You were dead. Just really funny. This is good. And it ends in kind of like a battle at the cabin with Ball and untainted Ruby, evil Ruby, the original
past 80s Ruby.
80s Ruby, yeah, with her different haircut.
Still loyal to Ball.
Ruby, yeah.
Just looking for the Necronomicon to summon her children, Ruby. The events of this show, Ruby, who was, I guess, just doing this for thousands of years.
Yes,
looking for the Necronomicon.
Because Ball was hidden in the body of, he transferred himself into the body of Pablo while Pablo was banishing him or whatever, and as he killed him, or in his corpse, essentially. And with Pablo back to life, it also brought him back to life, because I don't know how that works, but I guess he can't reveal himself unless it's a living body. It's weird. It's demon logic. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. He was a demon stuck in the corpse, and he still had like, he like influenced Ash and like gave him the idea to travel back to the past to bring Pablo back to life.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And then once Pablo was alive, he could remove the skin and reveal himself.
The ending is kind of lame in that he just goads the demon into an ego fight with like the stakes of the world in the palm of like, or in their like battle or whatever. Yeah. So I really like that in their wager, there's just like this huge flowery thing about how the skies are going to open and rain blood and fire and blah, 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 all this shit. His whole thing is just like, you guys leave or whatever and give me my Pablo. I like that he calls him my Pablo. That's really good. It's just endearing in a way that Ash's character generally isn't. And yeah, it's just like a fist fight. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No demon powers. Fist fight.
Which, of course, he lies. He uses demon powers.
We already had a scene where he's like, why would it fucking upholding my end of the bargain is fucking boring.
Yeah. Yeah, so exactly.
You know he's not going to. It is funny that he's like, yeah, sure. Because that character's whole thing is like to like never be in the room with Ash was like the thing in terms of like,
oh, just sure.
Supposed to manipulate everything. But then like he just winds up in the room with Ash and ends up in a fist fight with him.
Yeah. And Ash wins. Like, I don't know. A fight ensues and there's kind of a lot of weird shit happening back and forth, specifically where
they have a chainsaw duel at one point when they're both
turns
chainsaws.
He turns into Chet, and for some reason Ash is like confused by this, even though he I don't know.
Ash is a real dumbass.
He's a real fucking idiot. This is another father piano part though.
Yeah.
The father appearing in the bathtub and then him drowning him and then looking back in there and it's just like, use it, my son. And there's like a chainsaw under the water. That's such good video game logic bullshit. It's so good. And that, yeah, we have a chainsaw fight, as you said. That was kind of fun. We haven't really seen that, so it was kind of fun to see a chainsaw fight. I'm trying to remember what else happens.
The big thing we skipped is all the Cheryl stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the thing. That was the one thing I knew from, I was spoiled on the season that Cheryl, that actress, showed up.
Oh, okay. I thought it was cool that she showed up, but yeah, the deadite Cheryl comes back through the book's power or whatever to come back and fight with Ash.
Like a picture of her just starts fucking bleeding and like
that part like super pours cool
into like her clothes that Chet had laid out on her bed for some reason.
Well, for some reason we know why, but yeah. Chet's a piece of garbage. And honest, frankly, got what he deserved.
Yeah. Cheryl, but, like, fucking rips his heart through his chest.
Yeah. It was a little surprising that they killed Chet off, I will say, like, early. I felt like he would be in the next season. But, I mean, I guess he could be still, for all we know.
But, I mean, we got Force Ghosts now, so anything's possible.
The way this ends with him being crowned after, like, a victory by the town, and then just looking in the crowd and seeing Force Ghosts of his family is fucking amazing.
It's so funny. And it doesn't make any fucking sense, because they changed past, but I love that they don't, like, the show just doesn't give a shit. It's like, it's fine.
It doesn't make any sense at all, and it is so fucking funny. That whole scene is amazing. He's given, like, the medal also. There's a janky statue of him with a square body and a realistic head. Like,
it's so funny. It's like, yes, this is the perfect ending that Ash would dream of.
Yeah, and it worked out.
This is what Ash's victory looks like. Really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Also, like, Ash gets his hand back for changing the future, but then in his fight with Bog, his hand gets chopped off again. He's like, my virgin hand! Never even got to hold a beer!
He wanted two beers. There was time now.
There was time now. So now, like, his hand gets cut off, flips him off, classic, and runs away.
And then runs away. Yeah.
So I guess there's another evil Ash hand running around now.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's such a weird. It's hard to, like, even. It doesn't feel like we're even talking about the same season we started talking about, but it's all there. It's It built up to this moment.
It's pretty great how all over the place, like fucking Ruby getting killed by past Ruby.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. The fact we didn't even talk about one of the best new characters in the show, Ash Puppet. The Puppet
Ash.
Oh
my God. Puppet Ash. So fucking funny.
Puppet Ash might be one of the best things I've seen in decades on any media.
It's right up there with the Resident Evil puppets from those ads.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like a silly puppet that's apparently like pretending, or like his psyche that knows that he killed his friends or whatever in that part or whatever, and it's like speaking rationally to him. But my favorite parts are, first of all, just it's sitting on the bed, Kelly finding it and just being like, oh my God, you're so cute or whatever, the picks it up. And it's just like then she has this weird fight with him where it tries to drown her in a puddle of piss. It's a long story. That part is great. But also when he kills like the guards or ostensibly doesn't or whatever, I don't know, there's probably a little bit of both in there, it's all mind games at this point. And the puppet's just holding one of their jaws because it like ripped their face off or something, and it just like says this demonic shit at him while spitting out the like flesh or whatever. Oh my God, the Puppet Ash is so fucking good. That alone would have been enough to get me to watch this season. All of it.
I just love him like talking to it while he's like sneaking around, trying to escape, and he's like sneaking around when like he's like him and the puppet are on the same page or whatever.
Yeah.
This is so fucking funny.
Yeah, God, that puppet is so fucking good. What a great addition. Holy shit. It's so good.
This little chainsaw is like a real chainsaw. Because he's like a demon.
Yeah, it like starts moving, but it's still foam or something. It's like, cute. It's very cute.
Oh, when like Kelly's, the door closes on her, and then the puppet's gone, and she's like, "Oh, God damn it!" And the puppet is just on her hand.
Yeah. Oh, I guess his name is Ashy Slashy. That makes sense.
Yeah. Ashy Slashy.
That makes sense. Sure.
It's so good.
I'm
or like
right
and
now,
like when Ash fucking the first time Ash like throws it on the wall and it's like bleeding.
You can buy them. Hold on, maybe nice. Not actually. This is a prop replica, currently unavailable. I wonder how much it's sold for. I would definitely buy one of these. 100%. I'm into this. I guess like Etsy,
so
people
good.
Make them.
I was very pleased.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Had to talk about that. That's so, it's one of the best parts by far.
True, true.
The stuff with the car is so good. That's all visual stuff that's hard to talk about why it's so good. You just kind of have to watch it. It's just gore fest. In a way that I will say car related things, like what the hell are they called? Maximum Overdrive, isn't that one of them?
Yeah, that's the Stephen King one.
And Christine, like they don't get it right.
Another Stephen King one?
Yeah, they just don't get it right. The possessed car thing or whatever.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do. You need to rip somebody's face off with your wheel and then set them on fire. The amount of gore is so good.
Ash fucking stabs it with his chainsaw, and then there's like a hole in the hood from that chainsaw stab, so then he can like hold onto it while he's like riding it.
Yeah. Again, just good writing. Like having a reason why something happened and like how that can be utilized. That's just good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, really like that stuff. The real winners for me this time around are I like the car stuff, the puppet, obviously, but everything to do in the asylum, with Ball playing mind games and kind of like them breaking him out or whatever. I think that shit is like real winner type stuff going on here that although I enjoyed the end, I feel like it wasn't as strong as the things that preceded it for me personally.
I mean, I really fucking love Ash outsmarting Ball and going like, yeah, my plan worked. I needed to get Ball and the book in the same room. Fucking did it.
Yeah. Even the part where he like has a little pet tracker, he says out loud to them so that they would use it to track him. Like, he just the fact that he's like actually secretly brilliant in this moment. It's really, really good. Yes. Everything to do with Pablo is fantastic. That's just fun.
Yes.
And Kelly is so angry that I feel like her and I can relate on a spiritual level like nobody else. I feel every anger that she feels.
I'm expecting them for Kelly to have more of the plot in season three, because I feel like they've been setting up stuff for her to do more next season.
I think she's fantastic. More. She's one of my favorites, and she doesn't even do anything really.
Yeah.
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 Because this was like the season where it's all about Pablo being all fucked up with being the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
I feel like Kelly's turn next season.
But yeah.
We'll see.
I hope so. If they kill her, so help me God. I don't know what, like, you might have to, like, maybe I should put out my phone number and people should do wellness checks on me, because I'm going to be a fucking mess if they kill her.
Pablo, like,
well,
multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't do too well. Or
Pablo,
he didn't
got
do
cut
too
in
well.
Half. He got Ball cut his skin off from the inside out.
Ugh. Yeah. And then he came up out of like hell or something. He came up.
Yeah.
That part is scarier to me as somebody who is claustrophobic, being under dirt. That cut my skin off anytime, dude. Don't put me
in
dirt.
And then fucking Ash punches him. He's like, fucking Ball.
Yeah. Oh my God. That part is so good. Specifically, he like brings him up or whatever. He's like, thanks. Like, you're welcome, Bill. And then punches him. And it made me laugh so hard.
It's so funny because he still thinks just punching the demon is like going to make them reveal themselves. Even after the Henrietta thing. It's just how his brain works.
Oh my God. The fact that like Kelly uses it too and punches that. Oh my God. Who does she punch? Oh, she punches Linda or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Linda punches her back or whatever. She's like, does that work? Yeah, no, that was a great moment. To circle back quickly, also the moment that like Linda has where she's kind of like, how she's like always the quiet one or kind of like being taken advantage of or whatever. And like how that's like over or whatever. And yeah, she like,
or people don't tell her things because they think she can't handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
Kelly doesn't tell her daughter's dead immediately.
Yes. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But like by the next scene, she's like, my fucking daughter's dead, isn't she?
Yeah.
That like, was refreshing that like we didn't have to go through that.
Totally. Yeah. And
the thing that drove me crazy in like the misunderstanding kind of writing in the first season, like there was just none of that really.
Right. Yeah. In fact, we get a lot of like good closure stuff where the town sees that Deadites exist further on, like they know Ash is a hero by the end of this. The dad comes around by the end of this. It's really important that stuff happens for me personally, because that shit bugs the fuck out of me.
Yeah, like the misunderstandings we have are like written more naturally and they get resolved.
Yeah. And the sheriff has his head ripped off.
Oh, the sheriff does have his head ripped off. It's not enough. He needed worse things to happen to him. That guy was fucking terrible.
Yep, he's the absolute worst. And it's hard to say why without just watching this series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Microaggressions. Just tiny little microaggressions. There's a great scene where they're all in the precinct or whatever.
The best part, when fucking Ruby just shoots him in the leg.
Yeah.
He's being a bitch.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Poor Ruby. She had a rough go this time too, actually.
She did.
Yeah. There's also in that part, in the precinct, where they say something about Pablo being Mexican, and then he says something about like them being like old white guy or whatever. It's like, whoa, that was racist or whatever. It's just funny. Pablo's idea for a Honduran food truck that also fixes electronics called Fish and Chips made me almost shit myself from laughter. That's so fucking funny.
It's pretty good.
It's so fucking funny. Yeah. No, this season was absolutely amazing. I'm going to be bummed if they don't live up to at least this for season 3, especially knowing that there's not going to be more. I don't know. When I finished this, knowing we only had one season left, I was a little bit bummed, even though this has been kind of a pariah for me to like, well, I got to watch a season and talk about it every week now. This one has been easy, though.
This was so easy to watch. Like, this was a pure treat. This was great.
Yeah, way more than season 1, I felt like was fun and it was easy to get through. This, we watched like 7 episodes in one night. It was so good. We couldn't stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did 4 and then the rest in one sitting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for now. Should we do any predictions? Let's talk about maybe what might happen. I think you're right about Kelly getting more of a thing.
That's my big prediction.
So I have the meta knowledge that they weren't necessarily planning on the next season being the last one. So I don't think like Ash is going to die or anything drastic. Okay. Which is also scaring me a little bit. But do you think we see a major demon? Like, the thing I'm thinking about is that I've also seen kind of the cover art for these seasons, and the next one shows Ash like battling essentially like a giant devil thing, like jumping into its mouth or something, or like holding off its mouth. Do you think we see just like a giant bombastic type fight, or do you think it's another low key kind of thing? Like, where do they go?
Yeah, I wonder. I feel like maybe we go to hell.
Yeah, because they kind of like opened up the portal a few times in this episode. Like, I don't know. It seemed in this season a lot easier for things to come and go from hell than ever before for some reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe.
Did you watch the end credits scene?
Oh, fuck. I didn't. What was it? Was it big?
No, it's just it's in the woods. You just see the Necronomicon sitting there, and you hear a young girl's voice saying, "Oh, look what I found!" And someone picks it up.
Oh shit! Is it the Jumanji ending?
So someone in the, I guess in the 80s, maybe finding the book, or you know, it's just, or later than that, it's just been sitting there.
Interesting. Maybe a new cast. Well, not like a brand new cast, but like a new group.
Yeah. Yeah. Another group starting shit again.
Do you think it's their younger selves just finding it, going for like a walk? Like, would that would be kind of funny. After all of that, they still find it.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that, but.
No, because his hand came back. So like time had changed from what we could tell from that. Situation. Yeah.
That last scene is so fucking funny. The Force Ghosts. I still like.
The Force Ghosts is so good. Yeah.
We also have Evil Ruby still running around.
Right. She's obviously going to be in the next. I mean, I knew that because I knew that she, Lucy Lawless, was in all 3 seasons.
Yeah. And we see her at the end.
So I'm guessing she's probably, if I were to guess something, I'm going to guess she is the antagonist again.
At least to start. Yeah.
maybe even more so than before. Like, maybe she might be the antagonist this time, like the demon.
Well, it might, or she might be like the second antagonist. I feel like the Necronomicon, whatever happens with the Necronomicon, is going to be what's the like inciting incident.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it for everybody. I don't know that Linda's even going to be in the next one, the new Linda. It almost seemed like maybe her part of the story is over, but who knows? It might pick up where, like, they have a family or something. Yeah. Or
Well, they could do stuff with her, or they could kill her immediately. Either one is possible.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. I'm a little bit worried because I just don't think we're going to get closure, and I kind of want some closure. But I know that's a fool's gambit to think of right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited. I can't wait till we get together and do this again and talk about the third season. I hope it's good.
Hopefully. Yeah, totally.
And
I hope there is plenty of gore. That is what the series has not disappointed me on, and it's what I want more than anything. So,
sure, totally. I agree. Yep. And hopefully we will put out another good podcast for you listening right now. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you then.